Robert Dunn is the promoter and founder of Hoedown on the Harpeth, coming up October 12th and 13th this fall. It's the third annual. Robert joins me now in the studio. How are you, Robert?
I'm doing great, Craig. How are you doing today?
Fine. Thanks for coming over.
Appreciate it.
This is a nice event and one that I think really speaks to the locality of Nashville, Nashville's history, Middle Tennessee, the culture here, the string band, old time and bluegrass culture here. Before we get into what it is exactly, can you describe a bit about your background and what set you up to be in a position to do this and want to do this and what the spirit you bring to it?
Well, you know, I was raised a child of the 70s I've lived in Tennessee all my life. And I was from a family where if you reached to the radio to try to change the station from 6:50 a.m., your hand would get smacked.
WSM.
That's right.
The legendary country radio station.
Yep. So, it was just kind of ingrained in my blood, if you will. I've not always been a country fan, but grown to appreciate it in the later years of life, for sure. And just as I've grown older and listened to what country music has kind of evolved into, it doesn't really reflect the sounds that built Music City, USA. And I really just felt that it was kind of being lost with time, and I didn't want to stand still and just let that happen. And so we're kind of trying to recapture the sounds of the past and the things that built country music, classic country music.
And you're, in your life, you've hung out with musicians, you've been a part of the culture at the station, and can you elaborate a bit on that?
Somewhat. Yeah, I've just fell in love with the sounds there, and there used to be a thing back in the late 90s, or the 90s and 2000s, the Sidemen would play every Tuesday night, and that was a lineup of Sidemen for great acts.
It was like a bluegrass all-star band of the guys that initially you didn't really know their names, but we came to because
exactly.
That band was the house band.
Yep,
for years.
Much. Every Tuesday night, yeah.
And that was your scene.
That was my scene. And JT, the owner, and I of Station Inn got to be good friends over the years. I was there pretty much every Tuesday night and maybe another night during the week when another great act was playing. And it just really got ingrained. And when I was a kid, I played bass guitar in a band and a little bit of acoustic guitar, but then during those years, I found the mandolin and really enjoyed that instrument and grabbed a hold of it and started playing and really digging into the music a little bit more. And I started having picking parties at my house, and that next year will be actually the 20th annual picking party at my house. And so over these years, I've had once or twice a year great musicians that live in Nashville, Tennessee, just come stop by and play for the night at the house and sit around and play by the bonfire, and there's a couple bonfires, and we usually play as long as we can stand up, if you will.
and having been to Hoedown on the Harpeth, it's a bit of an extension of that spirit. It's certainly got main stage, several stages, but a main stage with, you know, the traditional form of playing through a PA, but there is a kind of vibe, and you want people to come who love to sit and pick in circles, right?
Oh, yeah, by all means, please bring all your instruments along. String instruments will be welcome in abundance. Last 2 years that we've had the Hoedown, they have literally played music in various circles throughout the campgrounds all night long. Watch the sun come up.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It was great. You know, everybody, the owners are real cool there at the Hayshed Farms in Kingston Springs where it's held, and they let you have little small campfires by your site. So it's a very intimate setting for the pickers, and as I mentioned, you can walk around and see multiple picking circles all over the place. It's great.
It's a beautiful place. It's a bend in a creek. I don't think it's near the Harpeth. It's not on the Harpeth River, but it's a tributary, right?
Correct. It's on Turnbull Creek, mm-hmm. And it is the property adjoins the Harpeth River, where Turnbull Creek hits the Harpeth River. So we're right there in that Harpeth riverbed for sure.
Why'd you wind up there? Why is it perfect for your event?
A good friend of mine, Marcia Campbell, actually introduced me to the owner of the farm of the Hayshed Farms, where we currently have the festival. And coincidentally, one of my best friends and the owner of the farms were already best friends. So it was just like kind of a family welcome when I got to talking to these peeps. And they had already were in the mindset of having events on the farm themselves. And so this the festival is just a natural extension of what they were already doing. And like I'd mentioned before, it was heaven sent. The place is just beautiful. There's a great, a huge bluff that does the backdrop of the stage, and hills and hollers and beautiful fall colors in October there.
And it's about 10 minutes off I-40 and only about 10 miles out of downtown Nashville, maybe 15.
Yeah, 15 tops, right.
So it's a super convenient for the Nashville community, whichever part of it you live in.
Correct.
This is not a distance. And there's not really another full-on string band bluegrass festival, classic country music festival in the area, surprisingly. So it fills an important cultural gap, and I guess that's part of what you had in mind.
Right. I mean, it was just the sounds of the past that, like I mentioned, created Music City, USA. I just didn't want them to go to the wayside. And there's a lot of, you know, with all the new generations, I mean, I'm 46 years old. So there's young kids that love festivals and love attending musical events. But I was just kind of getting the mindset that they didn't really know where this great Americana music came from. How all this was built up. They like the music, but do they know the background of it? And it's something I didn't want to be lost in time. I mean, because if you think about it, classic country music, 1925 was when the Grand Ole Opry was started, to 1975 is a grand array of the country music genre. It's old-time string music, like you'd see on at square dances and on the back porches, bluegrass, honky-tonk, mm-hmm. western swing. Rockabilly is even in the classic country genre of music. And you have the classic country of George Jones and Tammy Wynette and all those great duets through the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. All the way to the Willie Waylon and the Boys, the outlaw country of the early 70s. And, you know, with all of those genres, if you will, and said, along with blues, and jazz, that is the nuts and bolts of Americana music.
That's right. Yeah.
As my wife Jessie likes to say, it's the ham on the ham sandwich.
Oh, I like that. We'll start using that. That's great. So that's deeply reflected in the lineup, which I must say has taken a real step up this year for national acclaim. You know, this is a really heavy hitter. Peter Rowan really stands out. Somebody with a career that's touched so many parts of bluegrass, from the Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys band to some of the progressive bands that have lit up whole generations and ushered them into music they never thought they'd want to be a part of, like Olden and the Way. Yeah. So how'd you decide on Peter Rowan, and just give us a little notion about what it took to get him to play the hoedown on the Harpeth?
I've always been a Peter Rowan fan from when I really fell in love with bluegrass music. A little short tidbit. I was and still am a big Deadhead. It's August 1st. Happy birthday, Jerry Garcia. I was listening to the Grateful Dead for years and years. Went to a bunch of shows when Jerry was still alive. And one day, one of my good friends said, "Stick your head in here. Let me turn this radio up." He was in his car. And he just played this awesome bluegrass tune. And he got through and he was like, "Who is that playing banjo?" It's like, "I have no idea, Dave. What are you talking about?" He's like, "That was Jerry Garcia." And I was blown away. My mouth just jaw dropped, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like, "No way, come on." From there, I went and bought an Olden in the Way album, and then bought an album by Peter Rowan, which was the lead singer in the band. Bought an album from Dave Grisman, who was the mandolin player in the band. Vassar Clements was the fiddle player, and on and on. And it just, from there, bought albums from all the cats that were on their albums, and just started my, you know, array of bluegrass listening pleasure in my world.
So you reached out to Peter Rowan with I guess fond hopes that he'd say yes and that he could anchor this scene for you, because that's sentimental.
Sure enough. Yeah, sure. I had one of my good friends actually approach me that was helping Peter produce his newest album, in Carter Stanley's Eyes. And so the two of us got to talking, and he was like, "Would you like for me to reach out to Peter?" And I said, "Well, of course I'd like you to reach out to Peter." And yeah, the rest is history. Here he is.
He's playing which night?
Saturday night.
Same night, the Traveling McCurry's playing, which in a sense are another gesture between progressive and traditional bluegrass. The sons of Del McCurry, participants in the Del McCurry band going back many, many years, but a band that in their own guise, adding Cody Kilby on lead guitar, have created an amazing sound. And for me, they're the most important bluegrass band going right now for all the stories that crisscross through them and the way they sound and their own love of the Grateful Dead. They do just a brilliant Grateful Dead covers, and right. their love of where the music came from and where it came from before that. They know the story. So
exactly.
How'd you come to get the Traveling McCurrys on the stage?
Well, that kind of goes back to the prior story we were talking of at the Station Inn. And Ronnie and Rob McCurry were both members of the Sidemen band back in the day. And we developed a relationship, you know, what I guess almost 30 years ago now, you know, 25 plus. And we've stayed in touch throughout the years. And anytime Del McCurry or the Traveling McCurrys would come around, I'd always try to pop in and see them. And, you know, I'm no stranger to a backstage door. I would always just pop in and say hi to all my friends back there. So always kept a good rapport with the guys over the years. And it was definitely, like you say, the next step to, you know, a great festival was getting a great band. And couldn't be more tickled to have the McCurrys and Peter Rowan both join us this year.
There's also the introduction of an all-star band this year with some players who, to any of us who hang out in Nashville and love this music, are deeply familiar. Mike Bubb, the bass player, Shad Cobb, the fiddler, Casey Campbell on mandolin, David Greer on guitar, and thrilled to see him part of this all-star band. And what are you predicting?
Oh, fireworks. Fireworks, yeah. Coming off of Wires and Wood, we will have fireworks for sure. I mean, and you know, you can't leave out Corey Walker. What a great banjo player with that all-star band.
Yeah.
Casey Campbell, he's fourth generation musician himself. I mean, you just can't speak highly enough about that lineup with the all-star band. That was something I really wanted to put together from the inception of the Hoedown on the Harpeth, but just, you know, had a lot of cats to wrangle between here and there, and it took a few years to get it up off the ground. But this year, I think we're looking at the possibility. There's some rumors in the air of artists that are going to be available, and that it's Nashville, Tennessee. You just never know who's going to pop up on an all-star stage.
Yeah.
I know that Robbie Foltz, great artist from Chicago, that's coming down to join us. He really shares in that love of the traditional old school music like we're doing.
Yeah, and a great songwriter. He can do country, he can do bluegrass. He's absolutely wide-ranging and a very funny performer. And I think the Flea Market Hustlers are going to be interesting to see. They haven't seen them in a long, long time. I think they've changed form a little bit, but interesting band. What do you know about them?
There's some great cats. I've known the banjo player Mike for a number of years. We've hung out in circles of friends, and actually just recently got to meet John, the mandolin player, his lovely wife Susan at John Hartford Festival up in Bean Blossom, Indiana, and had a great time talking and sharing with them. And as far as their music, I've listened to a good little bit of it over the years. I've unfortunately not been able to see them live because they are, as you mentioned, kind of they're rarely seen out in town, you know, and they've taken a somewhat of a hiatus over the past few years, but they're happy to be putting their act together and coming up on the stage for us.
All right.
Great.
To round things out, you also have got sort of arts and crafts and vendors and food. So just give me the quick hit on what else people will find besides music and picking.
Well, sure. There's the infamous vendor row that all kinds of good stuff and wares from local craftspeople are going to be showing their thing. There's all this great guy. I just have to comment on this one vendor that he always comes out. He's been there 2 years in a row and coming back this year. Josh, he takes silver coins or other coins and actually on site presses them and makes rings out of them. It's a really awesome keepsake from the festival that you could take home with you. And he's a rock star on the vendor row. We've got two or three other craft vendors coming out as well, some woodworkers, some jewelry makers. We've got two or three food vendors coming back out. Yardbirds has been there from the get-go, and they have a great setup of all kinds of fair food, if you will. Not necessarily the hot dogs and hamburgers, but the quesadillas and wraps, sandwiches, pork plates, stuff like that. There's a panini company, Mary's Paninis, are coming down as well. So they're going to be cooking some awesome breakfast. Mm-hmm. The local pizza place in Kingston Springs, Sky King Pizza, also does a coffee shop in the a.m. hours. And they're going to be the coffee vendors out there. So you'll be able to stay awake and enjoy all the picking and grinning throughout the evening.
Have good coffee at a festival. Perfect, yeah. Perfect. And there is camping, as you said before.
Right.
So visit the website to find out all the information there. And that would be what?
That is www.hoedownontheharpeth.com.
Going to be a good time. It's a little ways off, but folks, it's never too early to plan your fall. And this is one that I know, I think it's going to be, we're all counting on it being the biggest one yet. And get it on your calendar now. Hoedown on the Harpeth, October 12th and 13th, 2018 at Hayshed Farms in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, just down the road from Nashville. Robert Dunn, it's great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, Craig.